Well, as always, there have been many moving parts on global equities and the local market. The All Share Index did close up in positive territory, apparently driven largely by Naspers. But to get more info from the real expert, I have David Shapiro. He's the Deputy Chairman from Sasfin Wealth in studio with me. Welcome, David. And it's always a pleasure to have you in.
No, you know, the last couple of days, the investment community, investors, analysts were talking Naspers down or talking Tencent down. They were deeply concerned that as Tencent expanded, margins would come under pressure, which happened. We spoke about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. But what happened, they surprised us on the upside. They had knockout quarterly results, 61% above where the market had plus 61%, about a third above where the market had positioned itself. Margins were a lot stronger than market thought. And of course, we had a big gain in Naspers. Now, just to remind you, these results came out after Hong Kong closed, so Tencent hasn't responded. Tencent will respond tomorrow, but Naspers up around about 5%, so that had a huge impact on all the indices with its heavy weighting in the industrial and ALSI and top 40 index or indices.
It accounts for about 20%?
Plus 20. Mm. I think in the industrial index, it's about 25%. So it's a massive thing. Not only that, it was a big trader as well, making up about 26% of value traded. Value traded today around about $21.5 billion and that. So you can see the importance of Naspers for the broking community. Take that away, no volumes at all. Just offsetting that, it would have been a better day, but then the Rand improved, which I don't know whether it's a good sign or bad sign, but the Rand improved about 1%, mainly because the dollar came off its highs of yesterday. Long rates in the US also easing slightly back. So then a lot of our companies like British American Tobacco, AB InBev, Richemont, etc., lost a little ground. They were better in their home territories, in their prime markets, but came off here on translation. But overall, a very strong day. Some other big movers worth talking about: Aspen up 4.5%. We haven't seen a move like that for a long time. Aspen been under pressure, but they announced they've opened a new facility down in Port Elizabeth to manufacture a number of drugs for cancer, for Parkinson's, and so on. Mm-hmm. And Bitcoin as well, another big mover. I mention these because these are all index moving stocks. You know, Bitcoin also had at a capital management day also spoke about the prospects for food services being very positive in that. So those were the big movers amongst the other amongst the major industrial stocks. But overall, retailers picked up. We had some good moves on the industrial market and in mining as well. Mm. Now mining's interesting because gold and platinum under pressure. Gold falls below 1,300. Platinum falls below 900. So those shares under pressure. Sibanye just keeps losing ground every day under pressure. Impala also fell back. But the top end of the market, that's Billiton, Anglo's, and Glencore, very strong. Mm. And I was looking at them in London also, big demand. It's always hard to attribute on a daily basis why they were up, you know, on what basis demand came in. But it did translate here, Anglo's being the big mover.
You touch on Sibanye. Mm. I see late yesterday, news came out that UK authorities are going to be looking at its deal with Lonmin and whether it's whether it goes against their antitrust laws, so their anti-competition laws. Interesting.
Well, if it does go against that, then they're going to dig one big hole and bury Lonmin in it. Mm. So I think this is, as we said, the headlines yesterday, do or die. Lonmin needs Sibanye, needs its help in many respects. And but strangely, Sibanye also coming down. I'm not quite sure why it's being sold down so heavily, whether it is on the platinum price and the gamble that Neil Froneman's taken on platinum, or whether there are other factors that are affecting it. But I think both need the combination and need the mining skill of Froneman.
And then you touched on Aspen. You talked about them opening some facility in Port Elizabeth. But another thing that we also heard is that it's being approached as well for its infant formula.
Yes, yeah. Big part of the business.
Yeah, so for
this is a company that's transformed itself over the last decade or so. It might even be a lesser period, from what was largely a generic drug manufacturer here to a company now manufacturing drugs that are used internationally. I have to write these down, thrombosis and, oh, what's the other one? Anesthetics, you know, to manufacture as well as the infant formula, which are three, I think, the three main pillars, as well as a lot of things. But I think it's a company in transformation. I think that maybe the market's been a little harsh on them wanting this ongoing growth too fast. Sometimes you have to digest the deals that they've done, bed them down, and you'll see the benefits coming through later. I think at these levels, share looking quite attractive.
The Rand, like you say, it did improve somewhat, but somebody was suggesting, there were articles suggesting that that might have something to do with the fact that Turkish authorities intervened in propping up the lira, and it therefore then affected other emerging market currencies positively. Is this true?
I don't know. I think when you're dealing currencies, you're dealing in a six-sided, what's a Rubik's Cube? Nine sides. I don't know. This is like 16-sided Rubik's Cube. Those are the kind of combinations that you can get when you deal in currencies. Mm. I think, of course, investors watch other emerging currencies, particularly Turkish lira, and they watch Brazil, they watch Russia and that. So there are quite a few influential currencies. We're the big one because we're a proxy for emerging markets. But I think it had more to do with the dollar. The dollar just came off a little bit, I think, giving the rand a little bit of strength. We're still in that 12.45 area, which is, I suppose, where we were a month ago or a couple of weeks ago. We're still pretty weak, but we're going to go up and down with interest rates in the US, I think. Just brace yourself, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a up and down ride.
And then the South African government went out to market today. They sold for the very, very first time a euro bond. They managed to raise $2 billion. Apparently, there was 1.7 times the interest, which is not as high as it could have been, but still there was an interest. And they managed to sell those bonds. That's good news, right?
We haven't. This is Eurobond, huh?
Yeah, so Eurobond.
We don't have much. The one thing misunderstood about South Africa with our debt is we have very little, call it external debt for in other words, dollar-denominated, euro-denominated. Mm. I think it's only about 5% of our overall debt. Most of the other is actually rand-denominated. So, yes, a lot of foreigners own our rand-denominated debt, but we don't have a big exposure.
That's good, isn't it?
It is good.
Because
it is
we don't good. Have exposure.
Because that's what's brought Argentina down.
Yeah.
Argentina has massive dollar or call it external funded debt, etc. So when currencies move, if the Argentinian currency depreciates, it means you end up paying more, and you're much more vulnerable than something like South Africa. So for us, it's very manageable, and it's good to see them going out and increasing it. We have got the margin capacity to do that.
That is positive, but on the one hand, it does still tell us that government is going out and borrowing more money.
I know, we need money.
And are we managing our finances well enough? We have the public sector wage issue still, hanging in the air.
I think also in many cases, I'm not familiar with that side of, with the bond markets and that. But in many cases, you're also rolling over debt that might be expiring and that. So I'm not sure whether this is fresh new debt or whether this is replacing other debt. You've got to get a bond expert for that. I'm just making this up as we go along.
Bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Retail sales, they came out today for March. They were up 4.8% year on year. The market, I think it's had expected just over 5%. But it's still quite robust. And it's been a couple of good months in the first quarter of robust retail sales. The consumer-facing side doing much better than the productive sectors, that is mining and manufacturing.
It just shows you we still have money. I don't know whether we still have money or we've got access to money. In other words, whether we're going out and borrowing it. But it's good to see it. I also think a lot of it was driven by lower inflation as well. As inflation comes down, you generally got more in your pocket to go out and spend. I think what's going to be very interesting is as petrol prices go up, to see whether we can maintain those kind of levels. I'm a little worried with the oil price heading towards 80 and around at 12.50, which is far, far away from we were, and also we still got to see the effects of increased VAT coming through, and you know, also built into those petrol prices as well. So let's see what happens in the next couple of months.
All right, David, thank you so much for your time. As always, that's Sir David Shapiro. He's the Deputy Chairman at Sasfin Wealth.